2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse number 1, therefore saying, we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled in every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Amen. We'll end there at verse number 11, and we look to the Lord to add his blessing to the reading of his word. Verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What is your vision for 2020? As a young Christian, what is your vision for your life in 2020? Now, I'm fully aware that many of you are still studying, still at school, college, maybe university, or others are in the workplace. And perhaps for 2020, you've your life all mapped out, and you know exactly where you want to go and what you need to do. Perhaps as far as your future is concerned, you have your choice of career all planned. You know where you want to go. You know perhaps as to the future where you want to live and what you want to do. That's your vision for your life. But for those that are saved this evening, do you have a vision then for your life as a Christian? You know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a vision far beyond the temple? Do you have a vision for your life as a child of God? Young people, I sat in youth rallies like this, believe it or not, a few years ago. And I had a vision as to where I was going to be. I had a vision as to what I wanted to do. Plans set out. But can I tell you something? That never in part of that, or never featured any of that, was that now in 2020, that I'd be a minister of the gospel living and working in East Belfast. God can change our vision. God can change our plan. And perhaps even tonight, it certainly is my prayer, I know it'll be the prayer of Mr. Omerod and all of God's people. Perhaps even tonight, there's someone in this meeting and you've your plans made out. You've got all your views as to where you want to be and what you want to do. But maybe even tonight, God will challenge you about a real vision, a different vision, another vision. A vision for his work. A vision for his service. Maybe God is putting his hand on some young man, even tonight, and even before you've come to this meeting. God calling you to leave your life's ambition and to go and train and work for the Savior full time. Maybe some young woman, God is calling you to go and reach others with the gospel at home or further afield. But you know, even young people of the Lord would never call you into full-time service. Yet we still need to have a vision. A vision for the local work. A vision for the local church, for your home church. I trust, young people, that you get involved in your local church. I encourage you, young people, to get involved in the work and the witness at home. Because that is where the Lord will prove you first before He sends you anywhere else. Make sure you help out in your local church where you can. Attend your local prayer meetings at your local church. Because that's having a vision for the local work of God. A vision for our life then as a Christian. And so tied in with that this evening, I want us to speak about some aspects of this vision. This vision that we need to have, always need to have, not only for 2020, but for all the time of our life. Some parts of this vision that we should desire for our lives for this year. As we come to look at these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul has been defending essentially his vision. He's been defending his ministry, his evangelistic labours. But this evening we want to not merely consider these verses tonight as a defence of Paul's vision, but as part of what Paul's vision was. And as we consider them, I trust that they will be our vision as well for 2020. First of all, I want you to see, young people, that we need to have a vision for the truth. We need to have a vision for the truth. Now, today's society is full of fake news. You know that's one of Mr. Trump's catchphrases, fake news. And he's right. Society is full of fake news today. The world is awash with so much deception and so many lies and so many untruths. And young people, we need to be very discerning as to what truth really is. What is truth? Where is truth found? Truth is found alone in the Word of God. God's Word, and only God's Word, is full of truth. But Paul narrows this down even more and sums up what truth really is in the words in verse number 3, and just that little phrase, but if our gospel, that's the truth that gripped Paul's heart. And it was that truth then that Paul went on to preach and to proclaim. The gospel is the truth tonight. The word itself means good news. So with all the bad news and all the fake news, here is good news. Here's the truth of the gospel. But what is the gospel? We'll turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." He received the truth. What was it? How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So what is the gospel? What is this truth? It is that Christ died, that Christ was buried, and that Christ rose again. You see, the truth of the Word of God always brings us to the cross. Always brings us to the Saviour. The truth, the gospel that we need to have a vision for in 2020 in our Christian life is the truth of the gospel. In Galatians chapter 2 and the verse 14, Paul speaks about that very term, the truth of the gospel. Let's consider some things very quickly then about this truth. There's the person of this truth. In verse number 4, says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. You see, this truth's not a man-centered truth. Many today will propound their ideologies and their thoughts, and it's all about what man thinks, it's all about what man believes. But this truth, this gospel truth that we need to have a renewed vision for in 2020, is centred alone in Christ. It's focused on his death, focused on his resurrection. It's centred on the finished work of Christ. That's the person of the gospel. You see, in and of themselves, the miracles of Christ could never save a soul. The teachings of Christ, it took the death of Christ upon the cross, where he took our sin, bore our punishment. That's why he came into this world, to die on the cross, to save us from our sin. And it's that truth, centered on the cross work of Christ, we need to catch a fresh vision of in 2020. Christ himself, of course, is the full embodiment of truth. Remember what he said in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is why, as you read through the workings of Paul and the ministry of Paul and all the places that he went to, he preached Christ. The Jews wanted a sign. The Greeks wanted wisdom, but none of those things could ever save a soul. It was only Christ. It was only the finished work of Christ in the cross that could take a sinner out of their sin and bring them into that new relationship with Christ. That's why Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And young people today, we need to have this renewed vision about the person of the gospel that is Christ. Not only about the person of the gospel, but also about the power of the gospel. Why did Paul preach about Christ? Why did Paul not go about telling about what he had done himself and all that he knew himself? Because it was the power of the gospel that changed Paul's life. And he was convinced. He had that vision that what the Lord had done in his life, he could do in other lives as well. The girls were singing tonight about the power in the blood. Thank God tonight, in 2020, there's still power in the blood of Christ to save sinners from sin. And sometimes the Church of Jesus Christ, we can lose that vision of the power of Christ and the power of the blood of the Lamb to save us from sin. Oh, society will try many efforts. Society will try many forms of rehabilitation to try to help people, and they have a place. But young people, it's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that's going to save lives. It's only the power of the gospel that's going to transform lives. That's why Paul was able to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. In 1833, Charles Darwin visited the South Sea Islands and he found nothing there but cannibals and savagery. 33 years later, he visited the islands again and he found lives transformed and changed. Why? Why? Because a man by the name of John Patton went there. And he went there with one message. And it was the message of Christ and the cross. And it was that message that turned lives around and transformed communities. And young people tonight, in this mixed up evangelical world in which we live, we profess the name of Christ, we need to have a renewed vision of the power of the gospel to change lives. It's only Christ. And if you're in this meeting without the Saviour tonight, if you do not know Christ as your Saviour, it's only the Lord can save your life. Don't look to your church. It's only Christ can save you. There's also the possession of the gospel. In verse number 3, he says, our gospel. This wasn't some remote ideology. This was something that had a real effect in his life. This was a personal experience that he had. You know, thank God tonight, whenever we look in the life of one who's held in the grip of sin, we know that our gospel can change their lives as well. Young people, it's the gospel of Christ, the truth of the gospel, that we in 2020 need to have that vision for. We don't go about preaching ourselves. You don't go about telling people your own views or your own thoughts. Go about telling them the truth of the gospel. We need to have a vision for the truth. But I want you to see as well that in 2020 we need to have a vision concerning a tragedy. This verse speaks about a tragedy. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We have this gospel. If you're saved tonight, if Christ has saved you, transformed your life, there's a tragedy spoken of here. That our gospel, this truth, it can be hid. Now it most certainly is hid, as we'll see in a moment, because sinners cannot see the gospel, they're blind to it in their natural state. But in another sense, in thinking particularly of our vision, there is the tragedy that our gospel is so hidden in our lives that others can't see it. That the gospel that has made such an effect upon our lives, that the world looking upon us, they can't see change that the Lord brings, and therefore it is hidden. And that's a great tragedy. It can be hidden by our lives. We read over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the verse 17, that well known verse, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things passed away, behold all things are become new. We are new creatures in Christ. Young people, the day you were saved, you became a new creature in Christ. And when you get something new, you notice it. Maybe you got something new at Christmas, some new item of clothing. And the first time you wore it, somebody says, oh, that's new. Looking very well tonight. And you see, whenever we get the new life of Christ, others should see it. Should see a difference. And so tonight, as the children of God, our old life is gone. It's replaced then with a new life in Jesus Christ, and it must be seen. But we must avoid the tragedy that is spoken of in verse 3 about our gospel being hid. Turn back with me, if you will, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel. And the chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and this great Sermon on the Mount that Christ is speaking of here. And verse 14, just now a short time into this sermon, after all those Beatitudes listed at the start of chapter 5, he says in verse 14, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He says, don't put your light under a bushel that it can't be seen. He says, let your life show for Christ. The command of the Lord, verse 16, let your light so shine that others can see Christ. It's often been said that many people will never read their Bible or never read a Bible, but they will read the life of a Christian. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Young people, if you're saved tonight, then others are to see that. We are declared to be the epistle of Christ. Every day you live. Every day at school, every day at college, university, at work, you are a sermon in shoes for the Lord. The question is then, what sermon does your life preach? Do others see Christ within us? Can be hidden by our lies, can also be hidden by our lips. Because there's not only the tragedy of a hidden life, hidden gospel by our lies, but also a hidden gospel by our lips. We don't speak of Christ. We don't tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's not the easiest thing in the world. I know that. To speak up for Christ in school. Very difficult, in fact. Very hard, I fully understand that. But God will give you that grace and that help. As you stand for Him, He'll stand with you. And young people, never be ashamed to take your stand for the Lord. We are, as Paul says, ambassadors for Christ. And an ambassador is a spokesman for his home country in a foreign land. The Christian in this world is not at home. Our home is in heaven. But in this place, while God has placed us here, we are to speak then of Christ. We are to be His spokesman and woman. There's a great tragedy. We need to have a vision of that tragedy and realize the awfulness of our gospel, of what Christ has done for us, that would be hid. But rather may our lives in 2020 point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. As you live for the Lord, may your life shine for Him. And may your lips speak of Him. We need to have a vision for the truth. It's the gospel. We also need to have a vision about the tragedy, and that is that our gospel is hid. But finally, this evening, we need to have a vision not only for the truth, not only concerning the tragedy, we need to have a vision then for the thousands. Verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Lost. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost. Did you ever really, honestly, seriously realize that your unsaved family members, your unsaved friends, work colleagues, see them in that state? Lost? Lost? On their way to a lost eternity. You see, that description, just that one word at the end of verse 3, really should send shivers down the spine of every child of God. It's a terrible thing for a soul to be lost. It's an awful thing for a soul to be lost. Under the wrath of God, under the condemnation of God. Young people, if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, this describes you. If tonight you're here and you're still unsaved, then this describes you. You're lost. In your sin, you're lost. And the sense of that word lost there in verse 3 is that they're lost and they're perishing and they're dying in sin. And that's who our gospel is hidden from. The very ones who need to see it and to hear it. And God commands us to go and to reach them and to tell them the good news of the gospel. You see, we are instruments in the hands of God to reach the lost with the gospel. Young person, you will reach a multitude more than any minister or pastor could ever reach. You will reach people that will never come through the doors of a church. We need to have a vision for them. We see their condition in verse number 4. They're blinded. That's why they're lost. They can't see. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in the verse 14. Paul says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness unto him because they are spiritually discerned. Oh yes, physical blindness is an awful affliction. Yet spiritual blindness is an all more awful condition and disease. Because if not remedied by the gospel of Christ, it is fatal and it will bring that lost soul down to a lost eternity. Lost in life is a terrible condition. But a far more awful condition is to be lost in death. And that truth, I trust, will grip us more and more in 2020. That our unsaved loved ones, family members, they're lost. We need to reach them. And young people, the impact that you could make in your own environment, wherever the Lord has placed you, if you were to just speak a word, tell them of Jesus, what an impact that would make. Their condition, also their control. In verse number 4, the God of this world hath blinded. It speaks about the exercising of control of the lost, of keeping them lost. And the devil tonight is actively, continually blinding all those under his control. He controls the sinner. He binds the sinner in their sin. And then there's the cure. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. There's the remedy. There's the cure for spiritual blindness. It's the gospel of Christ. You see how we've come full circle. We started with the gospel. We've ended with the gospel. Because it's only the gospel that is going to open the eyes of those who are lost and blinded in sin. Social remedies won't do it. Programs of rehabilitation, all well-intentioned, won't save a soul. It's only gospel. And it's those people then that we need to reach. Do we have a vision for the lost? We've heard about those various outreach endeavours. I wonder, will some young person tonight rise to the challenge And get involved in those outreach endeavours. I got involved in them as a young fellow. I remember going to London. I think it was one of the first Youth Council outreaches over to London. They're a tremendous blessing. Challenge, definitely. But I wonder, would someone tonight take up the challenge that's been brought before you? And put your name down for one of those outreach endeavours to reach the lost with the gospel. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing the awful state that sinners are in under the wrath of God, he said, we persuade men. With all that Paul had, with every fibre of his being, he sought to reach the lost for Christ. Because he had a vision for the truth. He knew it was the gospel that was going to change their life. He had a vision about the tragedy, that gospel being hid. He had a vision for the thousands, those who were lost. And he made it his life's desire to go and reach them. I wonder tonight in this youth rally, is there some young person? God's putting his hand upon you. And perhaps over recent times you've been challenged about the work of God, full-time service, go and reach the lost. Seek out the will of God, and having sought out the will of God, then go with the will of God. Because at the end of the day, young people, the only thing that we have to proclaim is the gospel of Christ. The only thing worth talking about is the gospel of Christ. Archibald Brown, who was the successor to Mr. Spurgeon in London, when he applied to college, there was a question on his application form, and the question was this: what is your motive for wishing to become a preacher of the gospel? What is your motive for wishing to become a preacher of the gospel? And you know what his answer was? To be the means of saving souls. To be the means of saving souls. Souls. Mr. Spurgeon himself said that if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. Do we have a vision for the lost? That vision for those that are lost will come about as a result of our greater vision for the Lord, the person of the gospel. The greater our love for Christ, the greater our love for souls will be. Tonight, souls are at wit's end corner. People, young people tonight, many young people, trying everything, going everywhere, trying to find some peace, happiness, and yet we've the gospel. But we tell someone, would you determine that even when you go back to school or college or university or work next week in the will of God, that you're going to tell someone of Jesus Christ? Tell them of the gospel. Isaiah, chapter 6, he saw the Lord. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He caught a vision of the Lord. He saw the Lord, then he heard the call. Who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. And the call, the command was, go and tell the people.
And Isaiah lifted up his hand and said, "Hear my, send me." Is there some young person in this meeting tonight, and you'll answer that call, "Hear my, Lord, send me. Give me a vision, Lord, I pray. Vision of souls and world in need, loved ones and friends, the one next door. Then let me see that there are millions more. Give me a vision, heart-stirring vision. Open my eyes, Lord, today. Show me the sighing, the doomed, and the dying. Give me a vision, I pray." May that be our vision in 2020. We have a vision for the truth. The truth of the gospel of Christ. If you're saved, young people, that gospel that's changed your life can change others. The vision concerning the tragedy, that gospel would be hid. And that's a tragedy. And then a vision for the thousands to go and reach those that are lost. An old retired missionary was invited to a conference of Bible students, a dangerous place to go to. But he was invited to come and speak to these Bible students. And after the conference was over, some of them gathered round and brought the old missionary into a little room. And they wanted to ask him a few questions, as Bible students do. And so some of the questions were asked. And then one of the students asked the old missionary this question. He said, "What, sir, do you believe happens to those who never have heard of the gospel? What do you believe happens to those who have never heard of Christ?" The old missionary sat there, and the students waiting for an answer. And as they looked on that retired missionary now, they could see tears rolling down his eyes. He said, "My heart is broken, burdened, to think that there are those who have never heard of Christ." Well, they wanted some deep theological, profound answer, but there was an old missionary whose life was devoted to the Lord, with a heart still and a vision still for the lost. His heart was broken that there were those who had never heard of Christ. Who will go for us? Here am I. Send me. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. Young people, that's the vision we need to have. Greater than any vision for our own lives, personally, individually, we need to have that spiritual vision. To go out and seek to win others for Christ. May God increase our vision. May God increase our burden for his work and for his service in 2020, and that we will determine that we'll go and do what we can and reach the lost with the gospel.